following sermon was preached at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Jessup, Georgia. Please visit us on our website at www.ebcjessup.org.
I'm very happy to be with you, to be able to speak to you from my heart the words of God. You know, in all the years that I've been a Christian, 70, I believe I'm right, I've heard 2 sermons on the tithe. And yet, it is such important scripture that I feel like it needs to be preached. We need to understand that the tithe is the Lord's, it's not ours. But we, oftentimes, many in the church, keep for themselves what belongs to God, spends it on themselves, and God calls that robbing Him. And the Word of God coming from Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 8, asks the question, will a man rob God? Will he? Well, they ask the question out of ignorance, I suppose. I don't know. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, Lord? You would think that somebody who was a Christian, been born again, would at least know that tithing is a commandment from the Lord God Almighty to all Christians. I mean, it's not something to be shunned, to be put aside, or to deliberately rob God. That's what God calls it. And they asked the question. It sounded like they didn't understand why he would say that they were robbers. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Can you even imagine that someone who'd been Christian for years didn't understand the tithe? In the Word of God, it is so clear and so plain. That's what we are to do. But you say, how have we robbed you, Lord? And he answers them, in tithes. Doesn't stop there. In tithes and offerings. Oftentimes we should pay our tithe. Every Lord's Day that the offering is passed and taken in our church, we ought to be prepared with that tithe check or cash, whatever it might be. And Malachi says, you are cursed with a curse. Whoa, that's tough, but it's what God says. You're cursed if you don't do it. Cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me. Now, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, even the whole nation of Israel, has robbed me. What a condemnation that is. But it's the Word of God. That they may be food in my house, God says, is a reason for the tithe. That there may be that's needed to keep the church going and to see that there's no lack in benevolence and in doing the work of God day by day in the community. It's necessary. It's where else will the money come from? It doesn't come from born-again Christians. Certainly the lost are not going to waste their money and give in to the tithe. It's not commanded of them, it's commanded of God's people bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food or provisions in my house. And I thank God that since we've been out here, it's most amazing to me that our people have given and given. I don't know who's tithing and who's not. It's none of my business. It's God's business. But we haven't missed a payment on any bills. We have no debt. What we spent, I believe over $200,000 on this building, and how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is to come and to worship. And that's because the people have opened their heart and given. But maybe not everybody. God says, I want you to try me. If you think I'm joking, just try me. Trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that what? There will not be room enough to receive it. Boy, is that a blessing or is that not? More than a plenty for us. That there will be nothing lacking in the house of God. The tithes will take care of it. But those that do not give it are missing out on a great blessing. And God will deal with them in that. And I will rebuke the devourer. The devourer, well, who is that? I think it's Satan, don't you? I believe the devourer is Satan. He would have us consumed and immobilized to the point to where we are of no value in the kingdom of God and of His work. And he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your grounds. Now, this is strange. I will rebuke the devourer. The devourer, that's kind of hard to say for me. But he's alive and well without God's hand rebuking him and restraining him. We're in trouble. It says, for he wrote, not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall this vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. If you will do what God says do, there'll be no lack in your pantries, on your tables. And to not give it, the Lord of hosts says, is not pleasing unto me. And verses 16 through 18 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. You know, they were concerned about this rebuke here in Malachi from the man of God. And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and he heard them. Thank God, God hears and answers prayer, does he not? He's a wonderful God. And for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name, He is the Lord of hosts, not of the few, but of the host. He's the God of many. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. Now there is a great difference between a good man, a righteous man, or woman. And One that is not is not going to tithe because he doesn't believe he owes anything to the Lord. That's my money. I worked hard for it. And I'll spend it on myself as I see fit. And God says, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him, there is a difference. And now I do not know who pays their tithes. I don't want to know. They're not paying them to me. They're paying them to the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. It's already his. We don't give it out of a heart of kindness. We give it out of a heart of obedience. God commands that we bring the tithes and the offerings to him. It's none of my business. I don't know that. Since God moved us back to this property, we've done a marvelous work. I've already mentioned that here we are with a beautiful building and no debt. How can that be? It's because the people of God are tithing. I believe that. Maybe not all, but the majority. And we have done a great work here. And we have funds in the bank. We owe nobody anything that I know of that we couldn't write a check for. Our treasurers take care of that in a wonderful way. And I quote from Matthew Henry, who makes this comment. They have robbed their master and had embezzled his goods. Embezzled? That's a fancy word, isn't it? What does it mean? To embezzle, to steal it. To take something that doesn't belong to you. That's embezzlement. And Matthew Henry says they've robbed their master and had embezzled his goods. They had said, wherein shall we return? What have we done amiss? Oh, Lord, help us. And he soon tells them, observe. The prophet's high charge exhibited in God's name against the people. The high charge that God has against the people who are not obeying him in his instructions about the tithe. They stand indicted. What are they indicted for? Robbery. Sacrilege. You robbed me, he says. And the people were shocked at this, and they said, how in the Lord have we robbed you? Will a man be so daringly impotent as to rob God? Stick him up. I'm taking what's yours, Lord. You think he's going to bless that? I don't. And we cannot conceal or contend with God's power. He's the one of all power. Everything is given unto me in heaven and in earth, the Lord says. And to rob him is a terrible sin against anyone who is doing that. I'll pause here to think about, in my 70 years as a Christian, I believe I'm correct in this. I've heard two sermons on tithing in 70 years. And I've belonged to several different churches. I never did. And Gloria and I, we didn't tithe when we first started going to church. But an old country preacher came out there to Memorial. And he preached on the tithe. Will a man rob God? And it convicted us. And we determined right then that the tithe was of the Lord and we were going to give it to him. And because he promised if we did that, he'd pour us out a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. And he has done that for Gloria and I through the years. I think of Brother Bobby, Frieda. Frieda would take her little check from the lawyer she worked for, and she'd tithe her check. And she'd check with her husband, Bobby. No, he couldn't do that. And suddenly, he heard a message there at Memorial Baptist Church on tithing. And he said, well, you know, he got to thinking. He said, you know, my old truck's all the time breaking down. My car's breaking down. I just can't get ahead. And that preacher preached on that subject. So you can't rob God and get by. The tithe is the Lord's. You don't give it to him, he'll get it from you some way, in some fashion. And Bobby said, from then on, that good brother put that tithe in there. Guess what? The old truck didn't break down anymore. The car held up. Did it not, Freda? And that's a testimony of what God can do through one person. And man who is a weak creature and cannot conceal or contend with God's power, we can't stand in his face and say, I'm not giving it to you, Lord. Well, I'll take it from you. I'll get it one way or the other. Man who lies is open to God's knowledge and cannot conceal himself from God. We can't hide from him. What we do is open before his eyes, and he knows our every thought before we even think it. He knows whether or not we're going to put that tithe check in the offering plate or not. And he condemns it. He's a man who lies open to God's knowledge and cannot conceal himself in any respect from that. Will he rob him that is his benefactor? All good things and every good and perfect gift cometh from where? From above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Great is his faithfulness. How about yours? How about mine? Are we faithful? He demands that we be. Man who lies open to God's knowledge and cannot conceal himself from that and still will go about robbing him, they're going to pay the penalty. And it's very unwise to provoke God, from whom all blessings flow. And it is also our judgment precedes the will of man to do violence to God. Why can we do that? Why can we continue to do that? Will a man stint or straighten himself? No, God has to do that for him. We have to go to him with an humble heart, bowing ourselves on our knees before him and ask him to forgive us of that sin, that great sin of robbing him. They rob God and know not what they do. They rob him of his honor. They rob him of that which is devoted to him on the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. And rob him of service. They rob him of themselves. They rob him of Sabbath time. They ask, wherein have we robbed you? How ignorant can they be? How have we robbed you, Lord? Well, he didn't beat around the bush. He says our duty to him is to pay our tithes. This is the word of God, and it's irrefutable. And we must pay attention seriously to this duty, to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, they were exhorted to do that. That there may be what? Meat or provisions in my house. That's what it's for. Take care of the what's needful to pay the bills and keep a church going. A lot of churches have closed their doors because they didn't have enough money to keep going. God help that we'd never face that. And I don't believe we will. We've got some wonderful people in this church who I'm sure are tithing. But there may be some who are not, and I think it is the duty of the pastor to remind them occasionally of God's word about what it says. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be fruit or food in my house. And hear me now, he says, and see, check me out, try me, and see if I'll not pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. What a great promise that is. God says, prove me herewith. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out to you more than you deserve. I'm sure of that. And that's the end of Matthew Henry's comments. As we can clearly see here, the tithe is to be brought into God's storehouse, which is the church of the living God. For a Christian not to obey this command from God Almighty is a grievous sin for the Christian. How can we live with ourselves at peace with God when we're guilty of robbing Him of His tithe, which He demands from His children? I'll guarantee you the lost are not going to tithe. They couldn't care less what goes on at the church. Now, giving God 10% of our income is demanded by God from all His children, but it doesn't stop there. He says there is above the tithe, there's offerings. And oftentimes we do have special office offerings for special things in our community that need people that need help, people that need food and clothes. And we've always been real good, I believe, at taking care of those problems in our community when we know about them. And God will bless us for that. And not many of church members give God 10% of their time. See, it's not just the money. 10% of the time. And we have a problem here in that many of our people will show up on Sunday morning and you don't see them again until the next Sunday morning. That's unfaithfulness. God won't honor that. We are to be present if we're physically able. And I know that I have not been for quite a while able all the time to be faithful like I'd like to be. But He knows my heart. He knows I'd be here if I'm at all able to get on my feet and come. I'm going to be here. I've heard Brother Roland say I can wake up feeling bad and stay home, or I can wake up feeling bad and go to church and feel better. I appreciate that, dear man. That was his idea. I'm going on to church. I'll feel better when I get there. And I can understand where he's coming from. That's where I've been for a while now. And I don't know. It's, according to the doctors, it's not something that's curable. I can expect to tough it out till the end comes. But I'm going to be faithful with all the power that I have to be here when I can. To not do it is a sin against God. And You know, some of our people are not seen except at the morning service. They're not seen again until the next Sunday morning. That's not getting it. Most of our men and non-attendees at men's brotherhood meetings, we'll just have a little handful of our men that bother to come. I understand the ladies have the same problem. Some of the ladies in our church and the men in our church don't attend these things. They're important. I know it's a side of thing. It's not like worship, but in a sense it is too. To help the poor and the needy and to go out into the community and witness to them and to urge them to come to church. We need to be faithful in doing that. Some of our problems are in a failure to get up out of the house and come when special meetings are held and guest speakers come and preach their heart out from this pulpit, and you look out and you see so many that they're not here. And that's part of the tithe. Time, talent, and money. It's not just money. Time, we're giving God at least 10% of our time and our talents, as well as our money. May God be removed from those who treat him in such a way. He will not bless. He will not honor them. May God be honored with Christians who are faithful in attending all church functions when they're physically able to do so. And unless providentially hindered, they ought to be here. And God promises to bless all who are faithful in their attendance. Then also God's word says that we are to give our tithes to him and our talents to him. What skill do you have? I notice we've got a good many children now coming to our church. I see the same little handful of ladies that take care of that nursery back there. There's some that could probably dig in there and help with that. It's a need. It's needful. I see it with my eyes. I see the children that are coming now. God's blessing us with them. And we need to teach them. And our people need to take the time to do that. Teach a class. And then also God's word says that we're to give our talents to him. Whatever, you know, everybody doesn't have the same talents, do they? Some people play the piano so beautifully as these ladies. I can't play one at all. No need to ask me to play the piano. I couldn't do anything but bang. And so we need to find our place where we can serve and where we can serve him faithfully and dutifully. We all need to ask ourselves, am I giving God 10% of my time? Am I giving him 10% of my talent? And am I giving him 10% of my money? I quote Matthew Henry, who had a lot to say about the Hebrew people and their failure to abide by God's commandments. And we'll quote him. We have here God's controversy with the men of that generation for deserting his service and robbing him. Wicked servants indeed that not only run away with their master's goods, but also they had run away from their master's goods and his ordinances. The ordinances of God's worship were the business which, as servants, they must mind, the talents which they must trade with, and the trust which was committed unto them to keep, but they went away from them rather than keeping them, grew weary of them, and betrayed the trust lodged with them from the Almighty God. And their disobedience they were charged with and had been guilty of even from the days of their fathers, even from the days of their fathers who were sent into captivity for their disobedience, or had been guilty with even from the days of their fathers. They were guilty of the same things that many in the church today are guilty of. Ezra owns it in one particular instance. Since the days of their fathers, they were disobedient, he says. God said, "Return unto me and to your duty. Return to your service." God said, "Return and repent, and I will return unto you and be reconciled. I will return unto you and remove the judgment that I have for you. If you don't, you're under." And what we need to do is look at the future. Are we going to do better? Are we going to resolve to do what God commands? They'd robbed their master. They'd embezzled his goods. They said, wherein shall we return? What have we done amiss? He tells them, you stand indicted for robbery and embezzlement of God's goods. Robbing God is a heinous crime. Some look back and don't even recognize that they have robbed him. An earnest exhortation to repent of that sin. The answer of God to them and to us is, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the church. Church house. God's house, the church. God said, do this and see if I will not, what? Pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. See what we're missing? If we don't pay our tithes, and what a blessing we're missing if we don't, but a blessing if we do. And brethren, let us consider the words of our Lord to be precious words, words that have meat in them, and they ought to be, we ought to have open ears and open hearts to hear what he says. Let's be faithful to his exhortation to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat or provisions in my house. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not pour out blessings to you, that there will not be room enough to receive it. May we heed his word and obey it, and in so doing, receive the blessings that he will pour out on us. May God bless what his feeble servant has been able to come up with on the tithe. The tithe is the Lord, it's not ours. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. That's where it belongs, that there may be meat in the house of God. Will we resolve today to do better than we've done in the past? To be faithful unto him for all that he's done for us, and we do so little for him. May God bless you, keep you until we meet again. I thank you for the opportunity, and I'm asking him to give me strength as I labor on. The doctor gave me a year after I had my surgery, but that was 6 years ago, I believe. I'm still rolling on, and God's blessed me greatly, and I appreciate that. Appreciate all of you who mean so much to me. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word, and may the people say, amen. Amen.
We invite you to worship with us here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, located at 1618 Waycross Highway in Jessup, Georgia. Visit our website at www.ebcjessup.org for information about our church, worship times, and to listen to more sermons.